When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deckett, in spirit. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Hold the phone. This is a very special episode for us, you guys. I am looking not at a computer screen. Not looking at like a screaming pet somewhere in someone's Zoom background.
You're looking at our dead-eyed stares.
Yeah, I'm looking at your Kirsten Dunst dead-eye stare, and I love it. I love it. I would cast you an interview with a vampire.
These icy blues.
we're in person, you guys. We're in person, and we're going in a totally different direction. We've had our heads down in the trenches, as they would say, working on a ton of other stuff. You know, we have that book coming out, all that stuff. And we wanted to get back with our roots. We wanted to relax and just have an in-person conversation. I know it sounds old to say that, or it sounds pre-pandemic, but just like sit down with each other as buddies.
We just returned from Austin, and we got to do this in person a little bit at weird places, like the Museum of the Weird.
Oh, yeah, literally weird place.
And just hang. And we decided we're not going to do it alone, though, this time. We got somebody here with us.
That's right. We received an email from a dear, dear friend of ours who said, after the damaging time they had appearing on our show a few years ago, they've recovered fully and are returning again with us today. Fellow conspiracy realists, you know him, you love him, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Lucky Yates.
What's up, babies?
Oh, that was a serious point you just did, Ben.
I'm here to get my reputation back after you guys destroyed it last time.
We do that.
With my dodo theory.
So...
the dodos are still alive out there.
I like the dodo cryptid. I still think about that.
What about the puffin? You know, the puffin is sort of like the modern dodo.
No, not at all. The pigeon is the modern dodo, my friend.
The pigeon is the modern.
Is this a hot take? Is this another hot take?
Get your dodo lore right, son.
What do you guys think about that cereal, puffins? Have you had it? It's pretty good.
So puffin cereal.
Yeah.
Puffin cereal.
Yeah, the healthy Cap'n Crunch, you mean?
Exactly. Thank you.
You know what, though? It doesn't cut up the roof of your mouth with the same level of, satisfaction than Cap'n Crunch. Yeah.
What Puffins are weak.
How else does it deliver the flavor?
Captains are strong.
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about this.
What?
Was there a conspiracy to cut all of our mouths up with various cereals when we were, a little bit younger in the 80s, 90s?
I always heard the conspiracy that MSG creates magical flavor by making tiny cuts in your mouth.
Whoa.
Not true.
Yeah, it's not true, but I definitely have heard that repeated, like people repeat things like that with utter confidence.
Delicious by a thousand cuts.
Mm. Okay, yeah, you know what? You're coming up with movie titles at this point. This is, and I love them, we've got to see this. This conversation's going to go in a lot of directions. Since we last spoke, Lucky, so much shit happened.
Oh my God.
UFOs are real. Yeah. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Check that one right. Yeah.
Things got bad enough in the world that world governments finally said, you know what, fine, get high.
There was
we
this
can't
virus,
pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, there was a whole pandemic that a lot of people just didn't believe in. This isn't happening.
Right.
It's not really happening.
What did you do? Where have your adventures led you? How did you survive the pandemic since we spoke? When did we last get together on
air? Oh, my God. I don't know. How old is this T-shirt that I'm wearing? It's older than 3 years old. I would like to point out, gentlemen, that this T-shirt has been in constant rotation. It's never been taken out.
Thank you.
I mean, it's been worn consistently and proudly.
Oh, gosh.
Lucky has it's the first shirt that we ever produced. It's like the worst font, but it looks
It's a very
clean.
Text-driven design.
It's nothing but type.
We had a budget.
With some white and red letters, and the red letters from more than 3 feet away, you do not know what they say.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is, we owe you another
shirt.
No,
not at all. I love this shirt. I mean, I will take one if you've got
they're coming,
more to
baby.
Spare.
They're coming, baby.
So we...
What have I... Yeah. How did I survive the pandemic? Oh, my God. Where do we begin? Well, I started streaming. As soon as everything shut down, I clicked on Instagram Live, and every night for 9 months, I streamed something weird. I started a religion based on the dodos...
Yes.
That we talked about on my last episode.
That's right.
I created a whole mythology about the dodos.
Well, you can't call it a myth if it's a religion, right?
Oh, no. We very much own up to the fact that it is a myth.
I like the transparency of your cult.
Yeah. 100%. I also don't ask for money from anybody, so it's like a real deal.
But if they happen to shower you with it, you know, so be it.
But it would never be asked for. I don't even know where they would put it. Because I'm not setting up any kind of Venmo.
In the plate, man. They got to put
it
in the golden plate.
Here's the deal. Okay, so Gladys the Holy Dodo was a savior, is our savior figure. Do you want the mythology?
Yes.
Yeah.
Drop this shit on me right now. I haven't had to do this speech since, let's see, October of 2020?
Okay,
let's see. As you may or may not know, fellas, dodos were a divine species here on the earth. The other divine species, of course, were the unicorns and the wizards.
Narwhals, perhaps.
And the elves. You know what? The narwhals are always asked for, but the jury is still out on them.
Okay.
We don't know enough about them yet. The T-Rexes, of course, were, though. The T-Rexes were a divine species. Okay. So, the dodos were living in their little hidden island paradise of Mauritius, just loving life. They lived there with the unicorns before they left, and everybody was just a beautiful, beautiful place. And they would sit in their bubbling pools of sparkling water all night long, smoking bowls of the elven pipe weed and discussing life in all of its majesty. And then one day a ship rolled up onto shore, and the dodos were like, what the fuck is that thing? And then all these men started climbing off of the ship, and they were like, what are those things? And then the men started just murdering everything on the island.
Sounds familiar.
And so the dodos were like, well, fuck this. Those guys are a bunch of assholes. We're going back to the undying lands with the wizards and the elves and the T-Rexes and the unicorns. And we're just going to peace out from this place because we don't like their... And if they found us here on our little hidden sacred island, then they're all over this globe, so we're out. Except for Gladys. Gladys said, you know what, fellow dodo kind? I have faith that mankind can get its shit together and stop being a bunch of assholes. So I'm going to stick around, see if I can guide them in the right direction. So they said, good luck. They pushed off on their longboats. Off they went to the Undying Lands. Gladys stayed behind for 1 in 20 years trying to work with the men. And she saw no signs that they would ever get their shit together and stop being a bunch of assholes. So she peaced out. And as she was pushing offshore on her magical longboat, she turned back to man and she said, okay, mankind, if you ever can get your shit together and stop being a bunch of assholes, I'll come back. Not only will I come back, I'll bring all the dodos back with me. And you don't even know the cool shit we can do. You just started murdering and eating us. Not only will I bring the dodos back, I'll bring the unicorns. What?
What about the T-Rexes, though?
Not only will I bring the unicorns, I'll bring the motherfucking T-Rexes. So praise Gladys, mankind, stop being a bunch of assholes so we can get the dodos and the unicorns and the motherfucking T-Rexes.
Well, look, dodos and unicorns seem relatively docile, but like a bunch of T-Rexes rolling, I mean, that seems dangerous.
No.
It seems like a recipe for disaster.
No.
I'm sorry to naysay. I'm just asking questions.
No.
Yes, sir.
I think history, if history has proved anything, you give man 6 months and we'll be riding those T-Rexes all over town.
Like that show Dino Riders.
It's going to be just like Chris Pratt in the Jurassic World movies.
You know what's fascinating about this? First off, that's a wild ride, and thank you. But what's fascinating is you have great timing here to tell us this story. The synchronicity is fascinating to us because just this week, we looked into something called de-extinction. It's a real thing that's happening. Like the idea, like, hey, let's just fuck around and bring back
mammoths. Let's bring back the mammoth. Yeah. Let's see what that let's see what happens.
Yeah. Or the thylacine or whatever. And dodos are actually a really good candidate for this because they went extinct so recently.
Yeah. And there's, you know, the pigeons are like distant relatives of them. And so there's, I think, enough swimming around in there that you can really start kickstarting it all.
When did the term dodo become like a term of abuse? You know, you call somebody a dodo, that means they're a dum-dum.
Because men thought they were stupid birds because they had no natural enemies and they were just naturally trusting and they were kind of goofy. They were like a ground bird and big and they walked kind of goofy. And they were just completely trusted men. They would walk right up to them and then they would kill them and eat them.
And people knew how bad people were. Like they were very, what you could say about humans in general is they tend to be self-aware as groups. Like nobody is saying, I think that we're doing totally good things.
So what makes penguins a more successful species than the dodo? They feel similarly.
They can swim in frozen water.
They can dart around underwater. Yeah. That's true. Dodos couldn't do that shit.
No, they had little tiny wings. They were on the ground.
Big eggs, easy targets for
big
predators.
For the dogs and the pigs that mankind brought to the island. Just took care of that, those ground nests.
Really hide those.
Full of eggs real quick. They went fast.
They did, yeah.
The ones who died now.
Okay.
Most of them got on the longboats and pieced the hell out.
Right.
There were a lot to
the undying. So, Matt, what were you going to?
Oh, I was just wondering, like, I wonder what Gladys thinks about right now as we're entering back into, I don't know, perhaps a world war. Like, how does she feel about mankind right now?
I think she realizes that 1 in 20 years / 220 years, it really makes no difference.
No.
Mankind cannot get its shit together. We're just a bunch of murder apes.
Murder apes.
What are you going to do about it? We love killing.
So it feels like you've really dug deep into this philosophy over the pandemic.
Every Sunday night, I did a service. There were regular worshipers that would show up every week. And at one point I thought, oh my God, is this legit? Like, could I go tax-free? Like, I think I have a church because I am a Universal Life Church minister. I'm not faking it. So I had a real ministry going on. And I'm like, I think there are still people that throw Praise Gladys around as their bless you type thing. Praise Gladys.
What's the barrier to entry, though, for getting incorporated in that way and then being tax-free? I know Scientology kind of had to fight for it a bit, you know? But what's the true barrier to entry to prove that you are worthy?
Universal Life Church has it all worked out, and I think you just have to have an ongoing service where there is a regular audience coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know that it has that. Yeah. Well, that because of the pandemic, and that's what I sort of stumbled on while I was doing it. I was like, "Wait, this is kind of where everything is headed anyway." And so many churches have been on TV all along. Oh my God, am I creating a thing? Wait a minute,
it's awesome, man.
Well, and then but when I stopped. My dog, my 16-year-old dog, really started falling apart. Good old Abe Jackson, and. So I hit a wall, man, because I was doing something every night online. And so I hit a wall. Abe went down. Then he died right before Christmas. And then I just like didn't go back to the thing. I don't know. I could kickstart that thing anytime. I still know the myth clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can just. That's pretty much.
I think you should
as
do
I
it.
Said it. I mean,
I think it would be fascinating for us on this show to have a fly in the wall perspective of someone who has actually managed to like go tax free with a philosophy or religion that they discovered.
The other cool thing is where I live. I live in an old warehouse that was converted to lofts back in '99. And when they set up all the bylaws, there was nothing in the neighborhood. Atlanta didn't realize it was going to be the Atlanta of right now. And I can run a business out of I can live in my place. I can run a business out of my place. I can live in it and run a business out of my place. Awesome. I am allowed to do all that. So I could technically turn my place into a sanctuary or whatever.
That's awesome. Should do it.
I know.
Is it accessible to the Beltline, though?
100%.
Okay.
A mere staircase away.
That's where all the true believers are.
We're
on the Beltline.
Right above Nina and Rafi. You can go get your slice of pizza pie. Well, you can get a slice up at Glide, which is on premises.
Oh, wow, okay. Dude. So it's we're looking at a sanctuary that is walkable.
Yeah.
That also has food, right? And I think, would this be the first church on the Beltline?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
You might have a thing here.
Because if that's something, lean into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm going to totally lean into that. I'm just going to set up a little booth.
Yeah.
Life advice.
Yeah.
Wait, like a banana stand kind of situation, at the edge?
A confession booth.
Yeah.
Speaking of confessions and questions, this is something we thought would be interesting. Went on Twitter earlier, just last night, and then asked if there were any weird questions people wanted to ask Lucky. So we've got a couple. First, I guess we'll start with this. This is going to be the hard-hitting journalism.
I'm ready. I can't wait.
You got some gotchas?
Yeah, strap the fuck in.
All right.
Hold on.
So StockX says, I want to ask him more about Archer, but, quote, I remember he wasn't so thrilled about the show, which is not the sense I got.
What?
Yeah, that kind of blew me away.
No,
I didn't even respond.
That's completely untrue. I don't know who said that.
StockX.
I love Archer. I'm a huge fan of the show that I happen to be on.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're such a huge fan.
Yeah,
you're
like
also
this
in it.
Double. Yeah, it's it's like the best of everything.
Tis a fine show.
And it's still amazing. Like, I'm recording an episode on Monday, and the script is hilarious. Like, the writers we've got going now are clearly big fans of the show, and so everybody is just at their bonkers most them, all the characters. It's so much fun.
That's got to be fun to have a show that's been long-running like that and have new writers come in that kind of, like, came up watching the show
and
they're now on and get it.
Completely re-energized everything, right?
That's
like,
great.
It was, they were all written for 9.5 seasons by Adam Reed, and he was just like, oh my God, I'm so, like, these people arguing in my head. I'm so tired of it. I just can't. can't do it. And so, you know, they finally had to go, dude, we can use that other writers. And he finally just had to say, okay, take my baby and write. And they're amazing. The scripts are amazing.
That's wonderful, yeah, man. Because, like, this is – I know we – I don't think we talked too much about it in the last time you came on air. And I was also surprised by that question because every time we've had the conversation, you've said the same thing.
Right.
You've been like, I love the show so much that I'm on it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is the ultimate fandom. So we've cleared that up
well,
for you,
here's,
StockX.
And if I may yes. Address StockX directly – with this horrible accusation. It's really not. Here's what I think is going to happen. And one of the things that one of the, I'm going to say, downside, even though it's not really, it's easily handled. But when I was streaming every night for 9 months, literally a little community formed around the regulars. They started their own little Discord. Two of them are dating now. Like, it's crazy. Aww. That this the like little group of friends that grew out of this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also sort of became a little territorial when it came to the chat feed, right? And I was doing shows, right? It wasn't just me sitting in front of a camera. Like, it was always a fully formed, well, not fully formed idea, just an idea that I was like locked into. And it was like, this hour is going to be this and
sometimes
this alone.
Leaning into puppetry and
yeah,
so on.
Right. Yeah. There were different themes for every night. But if anybody, you know, a lot of people would just drop in and just start throwing Archer questions around, which, you know, is naturally natural if, you know, somebody on a show you like is doing a live in Instagram and you're going to click over and you're just going to start throwing your con questions. And I would always say, hey, this is I'm actually doing this thing. This isn't a con, but, you know, so I'm just not doing Archer questions. Well, my wonderful, amazing, supportive little group really sort of took it on themselves to become the police of the crowd to stop them from tipping my cart or doing – I don't know what they're – you know, their intentions were good. The execution, not so much.
You know, we get that. We actually had I'm not going to name names, but a local curmudgeonly comedic personality posts some hot takes on Here's Where It Gets Crazy Facebook group when Ben proudly announced the So That I Want You to Know book that's coming up. Just kind of an asshole-y comment.
Congratulations, by the way. A huge accomplishment.
Very excited. But yeah, you know, and it was a very asshole-y, dismissive take on conspiracy shows writ large, right? Which is this,
right,
obviously,
right.
This is not what the show is. The show is, we always say, a critical thinking approach to conspiracies. We look at all sides. We
100%.
Have conversations. We get where we get organically. We're not trying to tell anybody what to believe. But this dude
There's
clearly
no
had never listened to the show. And then our lovely group just kind of dogpiled on the man. To be fair, I kind of think he had it coming because it was an ill-informed thing to say. He wasn't reading the room at all.
Right.
And that's what you get.
Yeah. And that's so, like, I'm sure StockX probably jumped on a thing, said something, and I might have said, hey, that's not what this is, or the rest of the group just like, roar. And then he thought, look, Yates hates Archer.
Poor StockX. No, and you know, I think it's clear that Stike is a huge fan of yours, definitely a listener to the show, but we told you, we warned you. It was hard-hitting journalism.
Hey, amen. I take all questions. I'm afraid of nothing.
Oh, man. There's so much more to talk about here with Lucky. We're going to go to a quick sponsor break, and then we'll be back with more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha. You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Well, I actually have a question for, or at least a topic of conversation.
Yes.
And it's just something that I don't think we've spoken about at length.
Mm.
You mentioned a radio station that you had interactions with and I think worked with.
Right here in Atlanta, Georgia.
96 Rock, baby.
96 Rock.
It was
formerly,
like,
in the iHeart Radio / iHeart Media family.
Yes.
Formerly, what did they used to be? Clear Channel?
Yes. But 96 Rock was the quintessential station for me. That one, 99X, was a big part of my life too. But like 96 Rock was huge in my world.
Yeah.
I wonder what it was like working in a radio station at that time. Like, what's our date
so
ranges?
Dumb.
Like,
it was turn of the century, early 2000s, because I was doing the Lucky Eights talk show at Dad's Garage.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a piece written about me that was like in the Sunday AJC. And then Larry Wax from The Regular Guys read it. And then they brought me in on that show and we had a really good time. And so they would just keep bringing me back. And then eventually I would just start going in the mornings because I could get up and it was right up the street. And so I just liked hanging around because I could jump on air a lot. And then they just started letting me screen phone calls. And then I was sort of working there. I was always just gigging, right? Like, I was the free money moron for 96 Rock for a while. I dressed up in a superhero outfit. And I was supposed to run around and give people money, but then we realized just what a horrible idea that was. Like, there's a man in tights with a wad of cash, and here's where he's going to be. And we were like, okay, let's not do that. So I ran around with the corporate credit card, and I would, like, run into Walmart or pizza joints or just wherever we would run in, me and whoever my handler was, and I would just like, I'll pay for that, madam. I'm the free money moron from 96 Rock. And I would pay for their thing, you know, their cart full of groceries.
Amazing. It's amazing.
And dude, so, right away.
In my hometown, it was 95 Rock.
Oh,
related?
One less.
Yeah. I don't know.
One less rock.
Yeah. It was a golden time, though, like in the 90s and early aughts. Without, you know, you would just, you'd go to the radio station, you'd win some contest, and you'd get like 1,000 notched CDs, you know?
Oh,
like
Oh, going into the prize room, I was always hitting up the promo guy, like, hey, man, can I go in there? Like, I had my first iPod from there. Just like, yeah, man, take this.
For anyone that doesn't know, notched CDs were like, they literally had like a groove cut in the side with like a fucking like saw blade or something. And it was so you knew they were not for resale.
Not
but guess
for resale.
What? You go to CD Warehouse.
What
did you see? Tons of notches.
CD Warehouse didn't know about those notches.
No.
Wow. Well, is there anything else just from that time or from radio or just anything that would be that you might consider stuff they didn't want you to know at the time?
Lots of payola, right?
Like back.
I imagine. Well, it was not, just not, completely.
Not,
it was
a, not at a not at a iHeart facility. Never.
No, of course.
We all took the class.
It was like it was sleazy salespeople, and you know, I mean, it was still like they were running on the 1980s program still, right?
Yeah.
And so it was. It was just like the broier they were. The bigger the higher up the ladder they were, and it was just a lot of people scrambling to be the new hot shot. But it was also the like pre-recorded, like nobody was doing live radio except in the mornings. Like the regular guy show was a live show. All the AM stuff, WGST and all that was live radio. But all the like cool music stations, they were just like, they would go in there and they would record their little intros and all that kind of stuff and do their whole show. It would take them like an hour to do a 4-hour show.
Wow.
And then they would go and, you know, fuck off for
the
day.
Rotation was all predetermined too.
100%. They would, I mean, they had the list of like, here's the songs you're introducing, here are the commercials you're doing, here's the thing. And they would just go in and record all their crap for the day. And then the computers would play it later on.
Okay, so they're like, and that was Spoon Man by Soundgarden. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're
one
on
hour.
The buzz.
Yeah. You're on the buzz with two hands in the gooch.
And on the buzz, they all had weed names. All the DJs said, I'm Dank. One of my buddies was Dank.
Wow.
None of them smoked weed either. Hey, it's me.
Entirely performative.
Dank on the buzz.
I feel like that's an ethical quandary. I know the FCC won't get at you about that, but I feel like if you're running a show that is heavily implying that you are so into weed that your street name is Dank, you should at least be doing an edible or something.
But again, this is like 2000, 2001.
There
when
were
just
no
like edibles. No, it didn't exist. That was some, you know, somebody, your weird uncle was cooking brownies, and it was just like, oh my God.
I know, we take for granted like how many flavors and potencies and exactly what type for what personality
you have
is available now.
What's your strain?
It's absurd.
Let's talk a little bit about that because
it's my favorite subject in the whole wide world.
Yeah, you've been you and I have known each other for a number of years, and now we all have known each other for a number of years. Probably the only person at our company who's known you longer is the legendary, infamous Jonathan Strickland.
You mean the quizmaster?
Yeah, the quizster. Close. We've got some, questions actually.
Quiz. From him?
Yeah.
He lurks. He is a lurker.
I know.
The internet.
Lucky's first question, actually, before we started rolling was, is he going to be coming through? So I don't know what's going on with you guys. We'll save that for later in the show. But
going on with us.
Okay.
Or is there?
You're in the right place. So this is a question. I established this background only to say that for the entire time that we've known each other, you have been a vocal proponent for
pro-pod advocate.
Yes. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
It really is a life-changing plant for me. It puts me in the groove that I could never find my entire life, and it would always just cause, you know, panic and anxiety and everything. And weed just goes like, here, you can be right here, and this is the good place. And I'm just like, everything is completely manageable.
It doesn't turn you instantly into a rapist and murderer?
No. Nor does it turn me into a lazy bones.
Really
I've never
doesn't.
Been more productive.
No, it's true. Again, a strain for every mood, for every personality type. There's some that make you a little more like, I'm going to get things done.
Zippy.
And some
I like
that
zippy.
Make you down on the couch. We call it indica, into couch, right? But now you can get like hybrid combinations of all of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So this is where—
If only it were legal here in this state.
Right. So this is one of the—
We're getting there.
One of the questions I have for you. Yeah, we are in the U.S. seeing kind of a paradigm shift, a sea change. But I know this is something you take really seriously. So in your opinion, what tipped the scale? Like for a long time, people like— groups like Normal were saying, like,
yeah,
hey,
right.
listen, the science is here. Yeah. It's alcohol is Weed way more
festivals,
dangerous.
Let's talk about like the 90s and 2000s, like during my the weed festivals, like 420 Fest and stuff like that, were tiny little hilarious hippie. You know, they would have a stage and there'd be like, you know, maybe 100 people hanging around and all that kind of stuff. Just nothing. So, yeah. Are you asking me what tipped the scales toward?
Toward the move.
Corporate adoption.
Yeah, like on a state level, the move toward first, I would say, medicinal marijuana usage and then decriminalization and then outright just legal.
I mean, I suppose it's a bit of getting a half a century away from the Nixon the Nixon message. He's the one that started the war on drugs and made weed, I think, a class one. And then it was backed up by the Reagans in the 80s. I think maybe just enough time away and an odd phenomenon of it seems an entire generation of kids that have either or both anxiety and ADHD. Really weird. I don't know what's going on. Like, I am an ADHD, anxiety-ridden kid, and I'm a Gen Xer. But man, you get into the generations after me, your millennials, your Gen Zers, it's nothing but. That's like it's the entire – so I think it's just, hey, man, we got to control this. And, you know, adults like me who are like, weed has always been great. And so now we're of age to be in charge of things, and we're going to try to – finally knock it into the thing. And then I don't know, what was the first state that broke?
Colorado.
Was it Colorado, both medicinally and?
I think they were the first to go to decriminalization.
Yeah.
Like they were
and
the
California
forefront.
Too. I think when they made the medical card so easy to get in California, all you needed really was $200. And then you could go to a dispensary. And just the proof is always in the pudding and in the banks where you're like, look at all the money we're making. And also, nobody is causing crimes because of this.
But they have much more of an appreciation for reggae. Those albums are selling like hotcakes.
Hey, man. All music is amazing.
Can I add one quick thing? There's an interesting law. Ben and Matt and I were just talking about in New York. You know, it's been decriminalized for a while. It's been outright legalized. And now the way is being paved for like brick and mortar, you know,
right.
shops. But I don't know if this is anywhere else in the country, but their law is kind of giving priority to folks with former marijuana convictions for being first in line to get the licenses to open these shops.
Which is amazing.
I think it's amazing. Yeah. There's, of course, you know, people that are saying it's racist, you know, against white people, which is not a thing.
Stupid. Just stupid.
It's very stupid. It's very short-sighted. It's just, you know, again, wanting to create an argument
selfish.
Out of nothing.
Yeah, it's also a nation of selfish babies.
1,000,000%.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think it's a neat precedent to set, you know, because so 100%. Many people's lives were ruined by having a dime bag of weed.
Right. So
you know.
We're going to give you guys the first opportunity to turn this into a business.
Yeah.
Sorry we fucked you over so bad. You guys are first in line. If you want to make some money off of this new situation, then here's your license.
Which I think is surprisingly inspiring.
It's the least the system can do.
It is literally the least.
The very least.
So I've got to throw this in because we are going to get some emails. Let me help everybody out. If you are halfway through the email, don't worry. You can put it in drafts. We've got the facts. California was the first state, like you said, to legalize medicinal cannabis, and that was in 1996. Recreational cannabis comes from Colorado and Washington in 2012.
Yeah, the same time.
And they made a ton of money.
That's so, another
that
issue.
That went into schools.
Yeah.
That was the other brilliant
and roads,
thing.
Roads, infrastructure,
right.
Things that no one else will pay for.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Sorry, I just had a thought here, guys. It was a very Black Mirror thought as you're describing
like
that law in New York. And I was just imagining a version of the future where murder, homicide becomes illegal because there are just too many humans, not enough resources.
It's decriminalized.
Yes, they make it.
It's called the purge.
A business, and they give like serial killers and other mass murderers first choice for creating a business and to monetize.
Oh, wow.
That's really good, Matt. So that's very good. That's a cool twist on this idea. I like that a lot.
There is an amazing comic book series called Red Room by a guy named Ed Piskor in Pittsburgh. And it is, it's people who are like doing grisly murders on the dark web for like Bitcoin.
I saw that. Oh, also.
And it is, it's a, gruesome. Deliciously gruesome comic book.
And then, of course, there's that subplot in The Sandman with the serial killer convention.
Love it.
One of my favorites. And that's sort of, I like the idea of this demystifying or sort of making things like grisly murder sort of boring and procedural.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that's interesting about it.
Yeah. We've got a, Lucky, I don't know if you're going to get to it, so I'm going to push you into doing this. Word on the street is you have made the move from comic and graphic novel fan to comic graphic novel creator.
It's true.
Cool.
Whoa. Lester of the Lesser Gods is the name of my comic book.
That's
myself and Eric Powell, who is he runs Albatross Funny Books. His work is The Goon. If you're aware of
The Goon,
that's Eric. He writes and draws that book. And he does Hillbilly, and he's got a whole big
Hillbilly is great.
Batch of titles. He just had an Ed Gein graphic novel that came out last year.
God. And
it's called Did You Hear What Eddie Gein Did?
Oh, wow.
And
a bunch of stuff, it turns out.
As far as I am concerned, the quintessential telling of that story. It is gorgeous. And we snuck Lester out into the world. He was getting all this big buzz about the Eddie Gein book, and we just snuck our little one-off. It's Lester's origin story. And then we're picking it back up. He's got an anthology book coming out called Albatross Funny Book, and it's going to be a running story in there.
Wow.
Lester.
So where can I find it right now?
At your local comic book shop, or go to, I'm assuming, albatrossfunnybooks.com. I don't know. I don't do the business part. That's all Eric's biz.
Just Google it.
Lester of the Lesser Gods. So it's a post-apocalyptic fantasy. It takes place that Satan causes an immediate Thundar the Barbarian inspired. I don't know if you know that show.
Yeah.
Thundar the Barbarian inspired, where things just change immediately. Like there's magic and there's all
Is that the one with the blobby guy? Gluey boy?
No, that's the Herculoids.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
Herculoids.
You can see
Thundar
how I might,
the Barbarian
they're
is
in the same era.
It's Thundar, Princess Ariel, and Ookla the Mock, who was their Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm. It's just so interesting to me because as a kid watching those, I was obsessed with the backstory.
Yeah.
And they never really bother to explain it.
Yeah, that's
in a way.
What the one-off is.
Yeah,
is Lester's story.
Okay.
So it turns out that the apocalypse happens and then Lester finds out that he's the bastard son of Odin. And so he's a god. He's a demigod. And he can sort of claim the earth in the name of good and defeat evil. If he defeats all evil, he'll get to live in the basement of Valhalla, which is what he is. And he's a 36-year-old, LARP nerd.
The basement
so
of Valhalla?
So it's everything he's ever wanted. He's never really fit into the real world.
Uh-huh.
But when the apocalypse happens, he finds out he's a god and he's ready to rock.
But is it like a full in-law suite? Or like what is the basement actually?
Is it an unfinished basement?
Yeah.
It'll be wood paneling and, just an Afghan on an old ratty couch.
Yeah, one of those lazy boy recliners that seems timeless.
A couple of some duct tape patching up a rip.
It's got the cup
Budweiser
holder.
Light up.
Except it'll be a Nordic beer, whatever.
There
that
we
is.
Go. So that's out now. I have that on my list. I wanted to check it out as well. I didn't know.
I should have brought some in. I didn't even think about it.
I thought you were talking about a friend's comic book. I didn't know that you actually wrote it.
Yeah, I'm writing it.
Well, that's
so
awesome.
The first issue, Eric, myself, and a guy named Matt Cushing wrote the first one, and we were once upon a very long time ago, it was it was developed as a TV pitch because we had a development deal with Turner for just a couple of years, and then it just that once that deal lapsed, it became ours again, and then we decided to do it as a comic. And it was Eric and my book from the get-go. We brought in some other folks to get us going on the book, and then now it's just Eric and I again.
That's cool, man. Yeah. So I'm glad it's continuing. And
yeah, it's great because I just sit around and write these goofy stories and then send them to Eric.
You're involved with so much stuff.
And then he makes it a comic book.
I think it's time for a Jonathan question.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Yeah. This might be the last segment, guys.
This might be.
It can't be.
I think so, right?
Why?
Aren't we running on?
It's a podcast.
Yeah, we can do it. Okay, we can break this shit into two pieces. What are you talking about? Wait, do you have somewhere to be, man?
No, I didn't want to waste your time.
Waste my time. Do you know what I would be doing otherwise? I would be doing exactly this, except there wouldn't be three people around me. I would just be sitting here smoking and talking. Not that I'm smoking.
So
that's what I would be doing at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here we go.
Ignore that smell. What?
So at Jonathan Strickland, friend of the show, you know him. Mm-hmm. You know him.
I've heard of him.
He says, yes, he is.
You feel certain kinds of ways about him.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. He says, ask Lucky about the time he had Alton Brown mm-hmm. and the chief medical examiner for the state of Georgia on stage at the same time, parentheses, this was following the infamous tri-state crematory case.
Yeah, that was back in the Lucky Eights talk show. Dr. Chris Sperry, he was my most regular guest, the chief medical examiner of the state of Georgia, and he would always bring in, after things went through the court system and the trial happened, all the evidence, they would either destroy it, but sometimes Chris would grab some nuggets and say, I'm going to keep this and put it in my office. And so he brought in things like a bong made out of a human skull, a mummified hand and wrist, a skull with a big hole in it, shit like that. It was awesome. And so Alton Brown, that was Alton's first time on the show, I'm pretty sure, when he doubled up with Sperry. And I just remember the two of them before the show sitting backstage talking about where the best burger in town was. And it was like, here's a guy that handles nothing but dead people talking to the dead animal guy and who cooks them.
What was the consensus for the best
the
burger?
The Vortex.
Okay.
And this was early aughts.
Yeah. I was going to say that sounds legit.
Turn of the century,
aughts.
Yeah.
Before a lot of like the boutique burger.
We've been overrun by good burgers since then. Vortex still in the top.
I would say.
In the top three for sure.
I mean, when they had those zucchini chip things, like that was peak Vortex for me. I think they took them away. Maybe they brought them back.
They're always.
I also still think they've done a good job of cultivating the sense of mystery by like not letting under 21 people in at all. Under 21 people, you know, children. But it's a restaurant. But it's like, you know, a bar. But every other restaurant in town also is a bar. What makes them special? They've chosen to do this.
Yeah, they want the bar to be more important than the restaurant.
Yes. And yet,
it's a
the
playground
restaurant is
for
clearly
adults.
Very important.
And it's, you know, they got, you know, girls with their titties hanging out all over there, you know, hanging on the walls. And, you know, they got like old centerfolds from, back in the day, they used to have, in the afternoon shift, they used to have the titty races. And in between sort of lunch and dinner when it was just dead, but there were just the bar flies. The waitstaff, somebody behind the bar would call them, and the waitstaff would rip off their shirts and run around the restaurant.
Wow.
That can't be real.
It was a golden time.
Old Atlanta.
Yeah.
And for anyone that doesn't know, the Vortex, like, it's a fixture in Little Five Points in Atlanta. It's
the Laughing Skull. The Laughing Skull logo you would absolutely recognize.
Two locations. Mm-hmm. One on Peachtree. And they've got a great little comedy club on
I used to do shows in there. Mm-hmm.
You used to do shows at the Laughing
talk
Skull
show
Lounge?
I did my talk show in the Laughing Skull Lounge. And I used to MC the Dames of Flame burlesque show in there for a couple
I remember
of years.
Them. Yeah.
Oh, guys, hold on. Let's pump our brakes, take a quick ad break, and then come back for more of this.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, we got back. We all went through a lot during the ad break, but we're still friends. So let's get back into it. So we've talked about a couple of things. We've gone in a couple different directions. I've got to tell you what was going on with Matt, Noel, and myself during the pandemic. We kept the show going.
Right.
We were in each other's business. Zoom calls.
No.
Oh, yeah. We got in each other's business because we were the people we talked to the most
right.
for like 2 years. And it was funny because I don't know about you guys, but I had to turn a room in my place away from being a bedroom and into being kind of a studio. Mm-hmm. And so I have a giant fucking plastic skeleton that lives there now, which I've grown accustomed to, but
is it one of those big Home Depot 12-foot ones?
That, not yet, because the ceiling is stopping me.
When selling those giant ones, I was like,
this is like a medical,
yeah.
Oh, it's okay.
It's Scully. It's a mascot. But so we all had these changes, and we ended up going on a couple of adventures too. Man, we went to Nashville. Right? Mm-hmm. Went to Nashville. We just got back from Austin, South by Southwest.
Mm, yeah,
have you ever been?
No, never.
I think we had a good time, but
I think we had a good time.
It's a lot.
I can remember some
of
it.
I'm sure it's a lot. It seems like it's too much.
Well, I mean, we weren't even involved in the actual, official events, but our company rented this gorgeous boutique hotel called the St. Cecilia, which is like kind of storied, and it's sort of off the beaten path, and it was all just populated by like CEOs and CMOs and CFOs, all the O's, and it was a closed event, so it was like, a lot of people that were actually staying staying there, and it felt like this kind of weird respite from all the craziness of like the drag, the main drag. But we got to schmooze it up with some very powerful human beings.
All the big wigs.
A lot of fun, and saw a performance by the band AJR. They were quite good.
Did you guys know the Foo Fighters recorded a whole thing in that suite where we were hanging
out? It's called the St. Cecilia EP, and they recorded it in like the bar area in the back, I believe.
Oh, weird. Yeah. Well, So I have an ulterior motive bringing this up. It wasn't just like, hey, we want to tell you about our adventures.
I don't believe you.
I haven't.
You know, you take your shot to brag. It's okay.
I haven't checked with you guys on this.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
As we are traveling more, which all three of us love to do, we love to be on the road, what are the odds of us getting you to do something live with us?
I mean, yes.
Cool. 1 to 1.
Okay, we're not going to give you any details, by the way, about what this would be because we haven't checked.
I don't care.
Well, I mean, we've got some Atlanta-centric stuff coming, but I mean, it'd be so fun.
I travel.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I have a truck. I know how to drive.
Okay.
Are you driving places?
Are you like big timing us now? No, we can all drive. We know how to drive.
Big timing us.
I passed my driver's test on the second attempt, y'all. Okay.
Oh, good work.
Thank you. So it's that parallel parking that gets you. But now I'm an expert at it. You got to pull directly alongside the car in front of you, cut the wheel, get back in there, and then straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
I wish this was on video so you guys could see Noel's emphatic motions.
Yeah. Like a three-point turn, kids. Learn about it, memorize it, own it.
Learn it, live it.
Live in a big city where you're driving, you're going to need to utilize that.
So that would be awesome because we do have big things ahead, and it always seems like these conversations are things that we would want to keep going with. We want to go hang out. Like, honestly, folks, after we close the show, we might go get something to eat. I don't know where it's gonna go.
Whoa. I'm out.
Food?
Never mind what I just said about being available.
Ramen? What?
I am not going out to eat after shows.
That's my line.
I'm sorry. So, man has to have a line.
Man's got to have a code. I respect that. I do think we would be remiss if we didn't end on at least a couple more questions.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Is that okay?
All right.
Yeah. So only Matt has somewhere important to be.
No.
Matt, it's at the ramen shop after we wrap. That's where it is.
So NES says, I don't.
NES, Nintendo Entertainment System?
Oh, man.
Maybe that's who it is on Twitter. Okay. Says Lions. How many wins this year? Now, you're a big Detroit Lions fan.
I am a big Detroit Lions fan.
Is she quizzing him for stats?
No.
I guess just saying, what do you think?
I'll go 7 wins.
Okay.
I'm going to say wins.
Is that a lot?
It is for the Lions.
Okay. Is there like not that good?
Okay. No. Historically the worst.
Yeah, they're kind of toward the bottom.
It's kind of an angels in the outfield type situation.
We're forever rebuilding.
Yeah.
That's very okay.
Are you from Detroit?
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. I just got back.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I've never been. System.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Is that football?
It really
or?
Is amazing. It is.
I'm serious.
I don't know either.
Gridiron football.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Right here.
What's all this about a gridiron? Is that just like
that is to
measure it in squares
to differentiate it from real football, which is what we call soccer?
Yeah,
gridiron has become. Yeah, and it's because of the grid. Once upon a time, however the thing was laid out, I don't know where the iron part comes from. I do not know.
Well, we'll find out. Someone will write to us, but before we'll just lightning. Lightning round.
Yeah,
okay, can we get a sound effect?
Perfect.
Even better. Okay, you're doing your own Foley work. That's awesome. So,
I went to a high school called Bishop Foley, so I'm very.
You were in the AP Foley program?
I was. A man made it almost to the top of Catholicism just doing Foley work.
It was between you and the guy who's the Pope now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Val says, does he put both socks on before his shoes or one sock and one shoe before moving to the other foot?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really pay attention to how what?
Sort of a fugue state, I guess,
know,
when you're
man.
Getting dressed.
Do you, Lucky, do you have any pets?
Not anymore. He died.
Okay. Abe Jackson.
Good old Abe Jackson, R.I.P.
Abe, we salute you.
You should see his shrine. It's glorious.
Well, I've got a long-haired white dog.
Yep.
That is like
I had one of those. Yep.
It's like a golden.
Well aware.
Yes. And
I'm finally allowed to wear all black again.
That's exactly. Yeah. So for
I went all black after Abe died. And it's not because I'm mourning. It's because I couldn't really wear black clothes for 16 years because I was covered in Abe.
Gosh, that's okay. So for me, it's socks. If I don't vacuum like a minute mm-hmm. before I put my socks and shoes on, they're covered in hair. Yep. And then my shoes are covered in hair.
Right.
So I have to put one. I take my socks over to where my shoes are. Put one sock on while I stand on one foot, put that shoe on, and then do the other one. Because otherwise, my whole being is inundated yeah. with hair.
Yeah. I'm glad to not have to vacuum every single day again.
Did you have to have like a bespoke kind of like pet-centric vacuum?
You try, you know, I never really pulled the big trigger and went, what's his name, Dyson.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a shark man.
Shark.
I'm a shark man.
Yes, they're the best. Yeah. They're cheap and they're so good.
Not a sponsor of this podcast.
You don't want a battery-powered vacuum. They last for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I have a corded stick vacuum from Shark and it fucking rules.
Yeah.
You've got a landline vacuum.
Man, you guys.
Hey, man. I don't mind whipping that cord around. I know how to work it.
Very, very last question.
I'm
going to
say, okay, hold on. I haven't really gone into this. I probably socks first. Okay. I'm going to say I probably most likely both socks because, you know, I don't know really. I don't make shoe decisions until I'm about to put them on. Okay. And see where my head is
and
at.
And you might want to be socked while hanging around the house.
So
you can do that Tom Cruise floor slide situation.
I have learned the magic. This is only recently in my life.
Like slippers.
Of the house shoes.
Yeah, thank you. I recently got some of those as well.
Ditching your outdoors. I have just a pair of Crocs, a simple pair of camo Crocs, which, by the way, I got into last year and they are so great.
You're a Croc master?
I am now. I didn't think I ever would be, but 54-year-old stoner Lucky Yates loves them Crocs.
They're big with the kids, man. There's comfy. All these fashion Crocs now with little dingle dangles you put on there.
Giblets or whatever that's called. They're called something like that.
Yeah.
Gimlets? No.
No, they're little things you stick in the holes, little charms.
Little buttons, buttons and charms, and they're called like giblets.
Giblet. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Crocs, giblets. Yeah.
All right, well, okay.
Okay, so sock, I put my socks on first.
All right, there you
go. Who was that?
That
was
Val.
Val.
And NES was the Lions. Stock X was the Hornets.
I would say seven wins.
Seven wins. Okay, very last
Stock
question.
X, I am apologizing. No, I'm not apologizing. Stock X. I love Archer.
Yes, we do too, actually. It's weird because we don't often talk about it with you. That was the first time we really did. Last question of the show.
Are you sure?
I believe so. All right.
What if I have a question?
Yeah.
Last question from us for the show. Well, for me, and then
Noel hasn't asked a single question.
That's not true.
That's not true. But okay. So
I'm just trying to elicit incite some emails.
Yeah. There we go. So
I got to get that chat feed working.
Since we haven't talked in years on air, is there any conspiracy or conspiracy theory that you've been thinking
Dudes,
about?
We never got back to UFOs are real. We never got there.
Yeah, we just mentioned that. Okay, and we're
so
all like, oh, yeah,
so let's,
right.
Like, UFOs are goddamn here.
Yes.
They're back. They're checking us out. We don't know what they're doing. People from the Navy are like, you know, it's a UFO. I don't know what it is. It can't move like that if it's from this planet. It can't dive into water and keep up the same rate of speed as it does in the air and then zip right back out.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And everybody's like, I don't like the other person because.
I mean, when people think about disclosure, I think they're expecting like an alien envoy to land and shake hands
and
with the fucking president.
Yeah, people want the spectacle. So this is
underwhelming to those people, I think. But absolutely, it's nothing that we haven't already all been pretty confident about, whether these are extraterrestrial or that's just like secret military experiments that we're not being made aware of, whatever. There's absolutely stuff that we don't know about technology-wise that exists.
Do you guys have theories? Have you gone through this already? Yeah. I'm assuming you have.
What was the weirdest one in the document? There was one point, Ben, or a couple. But there was one in particular that was like, that's a weird one to just drop in there.
Yeah,
you know?
There are two versions of this document, one for Congress, which has a lot more detail. The one the public can see, which is literally like 2-3 pages, and most of it is, we need more money, because it's a government document. But there is that one point where they're breaking down all the stuff they think it could be. It's the usual stuff from Project Blue Book. And at the end, they say, there's a bunch that we don't know about, or it
has technology that we do not understand. So like this science is beyond the observers.
Yeah. And this, you know, and for everybody who is like, well, we don't know, it could be some Russian thing that we look at how it's going in the Ukraine.
Yeah, right. Russians.
They
not
do
the
not
best
have
at tech.
Technology no. To do this thing.
I can't remember what show
That's
we were
what
talking
they want
about
you to
this. Well, I mean, Russia is known for being savvy with technology, but also sloppy. And they Russia things. But like, there's a whole community around like weird Russian synthesizers from the 80s that are like, you know, collectible, but also weird, and some are kind of shitty, but in a fun way. And the same, we talked about like the payloads potentially and like the nuclear arsenal they have. Who knows what state of repair they're in, how old they are, if they'll even fucking fire, you know? Yeah. So, no, I don't. I mean, again, no shade on any Russian people out there. I mean, the people are, I'm fine with the people. It's the leadership I have beef with.
Yeah, leadership and the hired militia.
Absolutely.
Armies.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, they are known for being a little bit quick and loose with their tech.
They can't pull this off, though, man. Not without us going like, oh, yeah, sure, that's a bling, blang, blomp. So they're not sitting on, you know.
So then why if indeed there are things piloted by non-human intelligence of some sort.
Is it dimensional?
Yeah, right. That's one possibility.
Is it a dimensional cross? Is it a time cross?
Yeah. Why are they? Why? What's the end game? What do you think? Why would they be here?
Well, it's just such they're so quick and like they zip around and then disappear that it seems that it's either joyride.
It's alien teens.
Or it's just an experimental, look what we can dip in here, zoom around, look what, they got this, I don't know. I really have no idea.
Maybe recon of some kind?
Would be great.
Maybe it's like those drive-through safari preservations.
Yeah, where some exactly.
Georgia, where they're like,
there could be some alien hillbilly charging, this is just some car.
Yeah.
That gets to drive through the path of the ape run planet.
Now,
there's a bunch of murder apes that run this planet. You want to go there? It's weird. There's a lot of pretty stuff, and then the murder apes. Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, they're rating it on Alien Yelp, and they're like, I didn't see a single murder.
Yeah.
I think we'll go back, though, because the gift shop is dope. 3 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went into the – do you know this place is mostly water? They didn't say that in the brochure.
We have water at home.
Yeah.
So thankfully, they're an aqua planet. Zip around between the water and the air.
I mean,
that's
it
neat.
Might be since they're, you know, I mean, what's the deal with being able to dip into the ocean and then come back out at the same rate? Like, that's just bananas.
It is really crazy.
Unless it's some sort of, yes, Matt.
No, it's okay.
Matt's literally doing the thing where he takes his finger and points it right at his temple to indicate an idea.
I've been playing way too many science fiction video games lately and consuming way too much of this stuff. I'm imagining this, guys. What if there are independent or independently evolved civilizations that get far advanced, right? That could potentially make it.
Sure, the whole Atlantis thing, like, well, then, you know. There was a technologically advanced civilization here before, and then it all went away.
Yeah, as seen Lemuria. In the Disney documentary film Atlantis.
And also, there's that weird computer thing that they don't know how they did back then.
The Antikythera mechanism.
That's the baby.
Yeah, but okay, so that occurs right in various places throughout our galaxy, and. When they get to this is really just the game Mass Effect, but once they get to a sufficient level.
Sorry, my good friend Mark Meer.
Oh, gosh. But when they get to a certain level, there's like a federation of some sort where everybody kind of agrees if we're going to, you know, make use of technology at this level, we're going to cooperate or, you know, face consequences the way a NATO currently is in our. In this planet, in this reality.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yes. So these things that we're observing that we can't understand that we can see are like the CIA of these various species and civilizations coming down and doing little like
recon
and wet work and like little things that they have to do. And so they can't outwardly interact with us and change the course of history.
Oh, and I bet somebody got fired for how much they made the news for that one.
They can just being seen.
Yeah, they
can just get into people's butts, mess with some cattle, and then they're out.
Do you think we're getting like the Gomer Piles?
That's
of
what I'm saying.
I don't know if we're getting the A-list.
What did you do? They saw me, Sarge. Can't help it.
But there's like a Herbert Hoover up there, you know, version of one of them.
Flipping tables and just screaming mercilessly in people's faces.
Well, I would like that because it would make this understandable. To me, the biggest missing piece is the why. Right. And you'll see people say that it's to prevent nuclear war or something like that. And there's we'll get into
what
this
is
later
to prevent nuclear war.
There was that one thing where maybe they disabled a nuclear power plant or something like that.
That's the idea.
That's the baby. Yeah.
And I've found some interesting stuff about it. But other than that, you know, I would love it if it turned out there were some intergalactic or interdimensional bumblers who were like, you know, they crash land and instead of saying, take me to your leader, they're like, hey, we got to hide out real quick.
Yeah. Remember that movie Spaced Invaders?
No.
Yeah, it was a small, very dumb, minor 90s creature type movie. It was a comedy about these stoner aliens that crash land on Earth and then just drink a bunch of beer and like look at boobs and stuff.
I love this movie.
I saw it in the theaters. Wow. I distinctly remember seeing it and I was the only one in the theater.
It sounds like something that's probably on Amazon Prime.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to look Spaced with an ED, Invaders.
Judi Dench, Cate Blanchett, Sir Ben Kingsley.
They're all in there.
They're all at Spaced Invaders.
Very early Tilda Swinton. She's unrecognizable as the lead alien. You know?
They shot it on the Excalibur set.
Yes, they did. In a spare weekend, right?
Oh, man. I want it all.
I know.
Give me all of it.
I'll make
but here's
all of
my, here, I have a theory.
Okay.
That mankind is that Earth is a prison planet, much like Australia, where we are the worst of the worst from some planet. They dumped people, you know, whoever here because they're like, we got to get rid of that.
They thought these genes are trash.
Yeah, these are terrible, terrible, whatever we are. So put them on that little nice little planet. They'll be able to live. SETI Alpha 5, SETI Alpha 6. This is SETI Alpha 6. That's a little Wrath of Khan.
I love it. And we think, you know, there's all this like, you know, Purple Mountains majesty and all this stuff. But compared to like the other planets, this is all garbage.
Because we don't know where the cognitive leap came from. We don't know where all the, you know, how did we make this leap from little forest creature to this weird hairless ape we are now. What if? And these are maybe just some guards like, hey, we should go check on that prison planet. See what's going on. Oh, my God.
Make sure they don't blow up the whole universe.
Oh, my God. They figured out nukes. Yeah, they're not as dumb as we thought.
But yet dumber than we thought.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Or like, oh, yeah, it's going exactly as we planned. Yep. That could also be it. They just have to come by and go like, oh, yeah, they're on track.
Fill out a report.
They'll destroy each other in another 40 years, guys. Don't sweat.
That's brilliant because we really wouldn't be able to hurt anything else outside of the, you know, very short range of our planet.
And they might start showing up again now because we are starting to come up with plans to colonize other planets. And they're like, oh, no. Yo, you're not allowed to get off that one that we put you on.
Space exploration is huge. It gives us a lot of new science for people on Earth as well. Like, it is a net benefit. But maybe we should fit. I don't know. It's
also a very human idea of imprisonment, right?
Yeah.
Like, but we did it with Australia and we do it with buildings, you know, like just lock them there.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say we're not some intergalactic criminal species?
Or at the very least in timeout to think about what we've done.
I think we thought about it a lot and we just keep doing it.
We just kept doing it.
We've been thinking about it since the ancient Greeks.
Yes.
Lucky, we're a viral life form that was discovered and they isolated us here to keep us under observation.
Or it's a simulation and we're all just
I love that
zeros
one. Because
and ones.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I'll tell you what. If we're a simulation, or if we're all being run, I'm just an avatar for some whatever, because when you sit there and think, you're like, well, who is it that's thinking?
Yeah.
My dude's pretty awesome.
You're like, this
kudos to my guy. Yeah, he puts me in trouble sometimes, but he always gets me out of it. I like my controller.
That's awesome.
So I got no problems with that one.
And we are going to call it a day for our avatars, for your avatars alike. Fellow conspiracy realists, thank you as always so much for tuning in. Lucky, thank you for coming back.
Sirs, anytime. Mm. Literally.
Honestly, we haven't done an in-person episode. We've done Ridiculous History together a couple of times, but I don't think the three of us have done this since the pandemic.
No.
We were in that panel.
Moment one. Yeah.
But we were like by far the least drunk people there.
And we were pretty drunk.
Well.
So.
No.
I can neither confirm nor deny, but if you check out our book, you'll also learn the etymology of the statement confirm nor deny. Always be closing. Check out Lucky's comic. Lucky Yates, where can people learn more about you and your work? I hear you're tweeting.
Yeah, I'm back on the Twitters. You can look at me there. Mm-hmm. And the Instagrams.
You
want to see what I look like when I'm smoking weed. Post a lot of pictures of that.
Is that at Lucky Yates?
At Lucky Yates. I'm not hiding from anybody. I have a Twitch channel, which I toyed with doing something with, but I...
Do you game on it, or do you use it more
I
for
play
just...
Animal Crossing, but I wouldn't...
I could never get into Animal
no
Crossing.
No idea how to hook that up to
it. Wasn't for me.
Oh, really? It's I have to go every day and, you know, dig up some fossils.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like a more elaborate Tamagotchi, you know?
I don't want to start down
I can't
a
tell
new
if
road.
You're joking or not.
You just
like
wrapped it
he's
up.
Not
no,
joking.
No, I will
he's
go on
joking.
For an hour about Animal Crossing. So you were wrapping it up. Let's wrap it up.
So that's where
you can people visit your island? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Bong Rip Bay?
All right.
My guy Butt Munch of Bong Rip Bay.
You know, you're killing it with the names.
My flag is a smoking pong. It's the best.
Lester of...
Of the lesser gods.
Remember that. Go
son
check
of
it
Odin.
Out.
Mm-hmm. And 36-year-old LARP nerd finds out he's the son of Odin.
Is there a new season of Archer on the way? Are we mid-season?
We're in the middle of recording it.
Yeah.
I have no idea when it airs. Yeah. Season 13, probably the fall. I'm going to assume the fall.
Did I hear it was maybe going to be the last season, or is that?
And that's always
people
said,
that floats.
That's people, yeah, I mean, okay. Ever since we finished the, you know, we had a 3-year contract, and then we've just gone back to like yearly renewals since then. And so everybody, Jessica Walter died, right? Mm-hmm. And so
absolutely.
Everybody just sort of assumed, well, that's going to be it. But I mean, where this show is still. Riotously funny.
Agreed.
So,
and as long as you all enjoy doing it.
As I long just as love the to, network likes
you,
putting
you,
it on the
You kind of do
TV.
A voice on the show. It's sort of
not
you.
Not really.
Yeah, it's
I
not.
I just go into my
yeah,
lower.
Exactly.
It's
but
just,
like,
I'm down here.
I love how H. John Benjamin just never has to not be H. John Benjamin, no matter what character he's playing. Yeah, and he's got these starring cartoon roles.
He's got that other voice,
identical.
Which he does on what's the home movies?
No, yeah,
that's just him too.
Yeah, but it's him with like a stuffed up nose.
Does he do a different voice other than Coach McGurk?
He does. Yeah, he does one of the kids.
Oh, is that
it's just a stuffed up nose. It's just John with a stuffed up nose.
That's so funny. I love it.
He's
that guy.
What are the weird voices you can do, folks? Let us know 1-833-STDWYTK. Just all you have to do is let us know if we can use your name and or message on air. You can also find us on the internet.
Yeah, it's true.
I was just going to,
I remember the aforementioned Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, where you can also dogpile on that guy if you wish. I'm just kidding. You can if you want. It's up to you. Who are we to say?
I would like to remind people to just tweet bomb iHeartMedia and tell them, demand more Lucky Yates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Lucky Yates call-in show.
The Lucky Yates call-in podcast show.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Come on,
I
want to
see that in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find
live
us
stream
on
that shit.
Twitter as well, where we are at Conspiracy Stuff, which is what we're also at on Facebook and YouTube. And on Instagram, we are at Conspiracy Stuff Show. If you wish, you can find us as individual human people. I am on Instagram exclusively at How Now Noel Brown. Benjamin Bolin, how about you?
You can see some upcoming research. You can help me out with some stuff if you want to go to at Ben Bolin HSW on Twitter. In a burst of creativity, I am indeed at Ben Bolin BOWLIN on Instagram. Matt, not sipping the social media.
No, it's fine. You can find me on Instagram. I'm a Gladys the Glorious Dodo. That is my handle.
The whole time!
No, I'm just joking. I don't have... I have one,
have you been catfishing Lucky about this whole religion?
Well, you know, he slipped up with Glorious. Yeah. It's holy.
Oh, but, I'm sorry.
But I thought, oh, that's a really great, that's a great name.
And if you don't want to... if you don't also... engage with social media, if it's just not your bag of badgers.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah, good for you. And if you don't care to call people on the phone, totally get it. But you can always write to us whenever you wish, 24/7, as they say, at our good old-fashioned email address, where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. Or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? But don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.